Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are going to find out. We've like figured out what to do. You can go see Julian Wasser, who we had on earlier.
Right.
And now you can go to a place called Hey Nani and enjoy some pretty wonderful food and then see some pretty talented people. So I don't know which order to introduce people in.
I always go alphabetically, Wendy.
All right, we said Hey Nani. That's the name of a restaurant, bar, and fun place in Arlington Heights. Chip Brooks is here. Hi, Chip.
Hey there. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. And then you have something going on at your restaurant, First Person Live. We have Diane Castile, producer, director, and host of that. So hi, Diane.
Hi.
And then we have Jimmy Corrine, who is a friend of Bill's. No.
That's true.
Comedian.
That's true. Disclosure.
Improviser. You have your podcast, Improv Nerd. And how do you guys all come together? Somebody needs to begin this.
Well, I'll start. This is Chip. And we started Hey Nani. It's a music venue and farm-to-table restaurant in downtown Arlington Heights. And it opened a little less than a year ago. And we've been doing all different kinds of music and types of entertainment in our music venue room. And we try to just experiment with new things. And Diane has been producing this first-person live storytelling show, which is like The Moth. She's been producing that for several years. And so starting next week, she's going to be producing that show in Arlington Heights. And Jimmy's going to be performing.
Yeah, and I met Diane because she curates this wonderful storytelling night. And so she's you live in Arlington Heights, and she drives, I don't know how many miles, but she ended up in Evanston one night, and I was doing an open night. And she's like, you got to do my show. And I'm like, Arlington Heights, you know, I'm an Evanston guy, you know. That's the whole day trip.
It is pretty far.
And so that's how we met. And this is the second time I'm doing it, and it's just so
excellent.
Fun. Yeah.
This has become all the rage, Diane, as you know, the storytelling. Why has this taken off so much in the last several months or years?
It's really been years, and I think, well, there's a lot of reasons, but I think most people feel it's a kind of a reaction to people are craving personal connection.
Yes.
Kind of relax, not to throw shade on social media,
right,
but there's a little bit of, you know, a lot of digital stuff and not a lot of live stuff and personal connection. And so people just crave, you know, we don't put our shows on line. You want to see the show, you want to hear the stories come there live.
Be there live.
And I think, and it also people are telling true stories from their lives and, you know, letting the guard down and just being honest and authentic. And I think people are craving that too.
What are the guidelines for anybody participating in this?
Well, it is a curated show, as Jimmy said.
Yeah.
It's open to anybody, but you do have to submit a story. Guidelines, submission form, all that is on the website. But it's the key about this type of storytelling, personal narrative storytelling, is it's regular people. It's not professional performers.
Right.
So anybody who's lived a life and has a story and wants to submit is welcome.
You mentioned the connecting, and that is so true. If you're not familiar with The Moth, it's just... It's live stories of people talking. There are also TED Talks that people do these things too. And you want to hear someone else mention something that you may be experiencing because it kind of makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I think that's the connection. You want to know you're not experiencing this thing by yourself. There are other people that have the same thing going on.
Absolutely. And that's a good point. A lot of the stories are, you know, funny and light. People are out for a night of entertainment. But I make a point to include stories that are more serious, sometimes poignant, sometimes, you know, a little dark or challenging for that very reason. It tells people whatever you're going through, you're not alone. We're
right.
all struggling.
So how do you pace a show when you're putting together several storytellers? Do you want to vary it? Sad story, funny story, scary story. How do you put that together in your head?
It really depends on the story. You know, every show is different and there is a mix, and it depends on the individual mix of the story. So it's not like funny, sad, scary, because if the funny and sad stories are both about, I don't know, something that happened on vacation, I might separate those because you don't want two vacation stories.
Right.
It's a kind of a eclectic mix.
So you've heard the stories prior to all of them being performed.
Yeah,
right?
They've either been submitted through our website, so I've read them, or I've actually seen the person perform, in the case of Jimmy.
Like Jimmy.
I also know the storytelling community in Chicago really, really well. I've been performing at The Moth for going on 10 years now, so I know who's got what stories, so I recruit that way as well.
And Jimmy, what story will you be doing?
I will be telling a story about when my dad died and at his funeral, and my family didn't want me to speak at the funeral, and it was out in Winnetka. It was a church out in Winnetka, and the police had to come in or were about to come in to prevent me from speaking at the church, and I persevered, and it got kind of violent because somebody pushed me from behind the pew. I actually had to stand up in the pew and say, "I'm going to speak at my dad's funeral," and then somebody comes up from behind and pushes me, and I end up going in speaking and saying my dad's eulogy. And just my dad, before he died, he wanted me to speak because I'm in the business, as you know, Bill. You know,
yes.
And he said, "I would like you to speak at my funeral and make everybody laugh." And that wasn't the end result, but I did get to speak at my dad's funeral. So I'll be telling that story.
And I remember when you were up with us last time, you were speaking about this, and I had never met you before. And when you walked out of here, I felt like I knew you so completely.
Right, and that, I think, to me is the test of a good storyteller.
Yeah.
You want to leave and go, "Oh my God, that guy just threw all his guts out."
Yes.
Or "That guy has crazy thoughts," or "That woman has crazy thoughts," whatever it is. I want to get to know the person when I leave.
Conversely, Jimmy, I've known you for years, and when you left, I felt like I had never met you.
Bill, that was intentional. We were very competitive back in the day.
Yeah, I know.
That's Jimmy Corain. He will be participating in this First Person Live. And also Diane Castile is here. And Chip Brooks from, it's a musical venue, Farm to Table. I didn't write all that down, but it's called Hey Nani.
Yep, it's called
Which is Shakespearean.
Which is Shakespearean.
You knew that, didn't you? Because I asked off the air,
well,
and I felt
Heights,
stupid. You were giving me a
everybody
look.
Knows.
Every venue in Arlington Heights, it's all Shakespearean references.
It's a Shakespeare festival, pretty much 365 days a year in Arlington Heights.
Yes, it is.
You can't get the court jesters off the street. You know, it's like.
And if you go there, Bill, you have to order in pentameter? What is
pentameter.
It? Yes,
iambic pentameter.
You have to order like this, right?
Yeah, iambic pentameter. That's all we speak in, pretty much.
I would like the chicken wings of.
And that's one of the things.
Right.
No, we'll get that together on the next break. But yeah, we started, like I said,
about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our goal was to create a great live music venue in the Northwest suburbs because we didn't have one. My business partner and I, Chris Dungan, we felt like we were driving a long way to Chicago or Evanston to go to cool places.
Right.
And we thought, man, we should build one in Arlington Heights where we live. So we did.
And
that's
First
genius.
Person Live is actually a perfect fit for the venue, isn't it?
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be something quite different than what we usually do because, as I say, normally we have musical acts in there, and this will be a storytelling event. But it's going to fit the room fantastic, and people are going to love it. And as a matter of fact, our first show is sold out already because people are so much looking
sold
forward
to it.
Sold
out 2 weeks early.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful news.
There will be a second night, right?
Well, it's going to be every month, and the next show will go on sale tomorrow morning for October 15th. And the title of that show is Scary, 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 if I remember correctly. So people can buy tickets at the Hey Nani website. It's heynani.com. And it also so happens that all our shows are up for sale on that website, too.
Oh, nice. Very, very nice. So with this, we talked about pacing a show earlier. With the scary stories, it's going to be one after another, right? You're going to build it all on horror-filled stories.
Well, things that scare us.
Yeah.
And so for adults, what's scary is a little different than, you know, what's scary for kids, but we're playing off on the Halloween theme.
So yeah. Jimmy's showing up a month early, though, because his story sounded pretty scary to me.
Well, I do everything scary.
Yeah.
I'm scared all the time. I'm scared right now.
And earlier, I said a lot of times we'll hear a story, and it's something we've experienced. I don't think anyone else has experienced your story.
No.
I think you're pretty original.
No, you know, it's funny you say that because I did my show, World's Greatest Dad, which I'm going to plug. I'm going to put it back up in November. And the two things people would come up to me and say, because in the story it was about my dad going to jail for white-collar crime. He stole millions and millions of dollars in real estate. And people would come up to me and say, you know, my dad did something like that too, but he never got caught.
Wow.
Which I thought was great. And then other people would come to me about the funeral story and say, you know what? I had the same experience, and I don't want to. I'm Catholic, even though everyone thinks I'm Jewish. You can't tell on the air, but people would say to me, I had the same experience at a Catholic church with the priest saying, you only have 3 minutes, because that's part of the story. They said, you could speak, but you only have three
minutes.
So that That's the kind of stuff when you come and see a storytelling show that you feel really great about,
yeah.
Because people, you think, just like you said,
yeah,
you're
didn't
the
think-
only person that had an experience like I did, but really there's a lot of people who do have the same experience.
Well, and it doesn't have to be the exact same experience.
Right.
It can just be maybe you didn't have that experience in your family, but I'm guessing you got a crazy family story.
Right. Maybe your dad didn't go to jail for 33 months.
No, he
maybe
didn't.
He just got, you know, maybe he just got community service.
But my Aunt Phoebe, he didn't. Okay. At my Aunt Phoebe, at her husband Alvaro's funeral, did not want to let him go, so she pulled him out of the casket. That's a story.
Right.
At the little kid being at a wake. Wow. Uncle Alvaro.
How old were you when that happened?
Wow. I was under 10.
Yeah, it's funny how that stuff stays.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him? Did he go back in?
He didn't have pants on.
Are you serious?
I don't remember that.
All right, that took a weird turn, Wendy.
That did, Wendy.
It started
this
out
early
weird
in the
and
morning.
Then got
we were talking
weirder.
About naked chess earlier,
yeah,
so I don't think
really.
It's that weird.
We got all this food happen. Here, and then Wendy ruined it.
Yeah, I know. All right, we'll talk more about First Person Live in just a minute. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The name of the show is First Person Live. You can see it in Arlington Heights in the Shakespearean district of Arlington Heights. Chip Brooks is here, the owner of Hey Nani, the venue by which you can see First Person Live. My friend Jimmy Corain, comedian, improviser, podcast host, and Diane Castile, the producer and director of First Person Live. What's the difference in somebody doing this, telling their story this way, Diane, as opposed to your more traditional like stand-up comedy? What do you think the difference is?
Well, for one thing, these are true stories from a person's life.
Yeah.
And they have a story arc. There's a beginning, something happens, sets action in motion. Our protagonist tries to, you know, figure out that their problem in the middle of the story, and at the end it's resolved in some way. You know, that's a classical story arc, and personal narrative storytelling follows that. Mm-hmm. It's very different than a stream of jokes or a political speech or, you know, even an essay type of format. So I curate the show to make sure we actually have stories, and that's one reason submissions are so important.
Yeah.
And hasn't stand-up changed quite a bit, too? Before, it was a lot of set-up punchline. I know you did it, but now it's so much more personal, I feel. You always tell stories about your life and stuff, but I just feel like it's gone to another level.
Sure.
It's deeper than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. You've been doing this for 10 years now, right?
Yep.
Has this art form changed in the decade or so that you've been doing it?
Only in the sense that more and more people are getting involved and stepping up and sharing their stories, because they're learning you really don't have to be a professional to do this. You just have to be a human being that's lived a life.
Right.
And will take some time to craft an experience into a story.
And the audience recognizes the honesty. There's no way to not recognize when something is just so blatantly honest.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus the whole line about, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes.
Some of this stuff is so crazy. You know it's true because nobody would make this stuff up. It's too unbelievable.
Right. Do some of these stories change? Like, if somebody's got a story that's just a great story, like Jimmy's story about the funeral, do you see it change and evolve as time goes on? If they've done it in front of an audience, after a while, they realize what works and what doesn't work, and they kind of hone it a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have stories that I, you know, wrote 10 years ago that I'm still telling today, but every time I get up on stage to tell that story, whether it's my show or another show, because I also perform in the city, it's always a different story.
Sure.
Slightly changed, but always different and evolving.
It's pretty interesting, and Chip, this is a great idea to have something. Live music is one thing, and I love going to see live music, but to go see First Person Live, is it like the first Tuesday of every month? Is there just a set thing?
It's going to be, I think, the second Tuesday of just about every month, and I think we're doing it every month except January.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got all sorts of other things going on at Hey Nani. We do a great brunch every weekend, of course, with live music. We have bluegrass music on Saturdays and jazz on Sundays. Mm. So I think it's like the coolest live music brunch in Chicago.
Very good.
And Bill, Chip brought some food. What'd
Chip,
you bring up
that
here?
That was so nice of you.
Man, our chef, Tony Hernandez, is here, and he brought some great food. We've got our classic burger here with the dark buns. For those of you who like dark buns, we've got them. They're
so
really
you're saying that's a rye bun?
It is a rye bun.
Yep.
So,
Jimmy,
you're allowed to eat it, Jimmy.
That's good. Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy had to check.
Jimmy does a booth at Great America where he identifies various types of bread. I don't know how he does.
It was really slow this
without
summer.
Tasting it.
Right.
Too.
He just looks at
like
it.
An uncanny ability. How long have you been able to do this?
Well, it's been my seventh summer.
Wow.
It's really good. You know.
about
the gluten-free stuff kind of tricks me a little, but I'm pretty good at that.
You're going to branch out into spreads eventually. I will, if I get permission.
Yeah.
So we've got some great chicken wings that are one of our specialties here, and then we've got a jar. We've got a couple of things that we do in jars, and the one that we've got here is a trout and blueberry jar. And we spread it out on some cool rye bread. Or
yeah, this is a toasted pumpernickel.
There you go.
I get it, right?
You got it.
All right.
Totally good. And then we also have an edamame hummus over there. We've got free-range edamame, but they're not kept in cages anywhere. But it's really a beautiful, healthy dish. And the last thing we've got is a spinach and artichoke dip.
With bruschetta, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, excellent.
Jimmy,
now
you're showing
off.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. The season's almost over, but I still have it.
Look at you.
You got your game going.
We talked to you a little bit when you were up last time, Jimmy, but this always fascinates me. In your show, you talk about the differences of yourself and others like you, if there's such a thing, where you recognize the fact that you had a certain relationship with your parents where you were the child, but now that you have a child of your own, you're the same person, but you're a different person. I love you. I love when you talk about this.
Yeah, I think a lot of it for me is like not trying to make the same mistakes that I did as my parents. And I will have, like I will with my daughter, she's three now, Betsy, I will say like, I want to say no to something, or I get really, you know, meltdowns, man, or something new at three. That, and I want to react the same way as I do my parents. And I catch myself most of the time.
Yeah.
We were talking with Dr. John Duffy earlier.
Love Dr. John.
He's great. It's hard to be a parent. When I was pregnant with my first kid, there was a coworker I had and a woman who was older than I was and said, you just love them and try your best. And really, those are the only two ingredients.
Yeah, and the thing that I've experienced, and I don't know you guys as parents, is like the emotions you feel are so intense. Like the joy is like overwhelming,
sure.
And then the anger, like when they don't do something you want, and it's late at night, and they're supposed to get out of the tub, and they've been there for an hour.
And they're all pruny.
Yeah, and they're all pruny, and they don't understand. I mean, it's just really, really intense. And I'm really grateful that I'm in a lot of therapy, been in a lot of therapy, and that I can say to my daughter, oh, so you're angry about that, you know? Yeah.
Why don't you want to get out of the tub?
Why don't you want to get out of
the tub?
Does she get out? Yeah. On that, no, she doesn't. That just takes force. That just takes choices. You go, hey, do you want to get out yourself or you want me to get you out?
Right.
You
know? And usually you get her out then?
No, she usually gets out by herself.
Oh,
she's very determined. Yeah. She's very. I'm not worried about her needs being met in when she gets older.
But there's a lot of negotiating that I don't remember being there when I was the kid part of this equation. But as an adult, you find yourself a lot of negotiating going on.
Yeah, definitely a lot of negotiating and a lot of, you know, trying to do it differently than your parents did.
You want to take things from your parents and say, I think they did this right, so I'll try to carry that tradition on. But I don't think they did this right, so I'll change that. Right.
So, it's about 90%. That they didn't do right. And that 10%, if you can find it, I haven't found it yet, Bill, but when you can find it, it's there somewhere.
My favorite line is, wait till you have kids of your own.
I used to get that all the time, and it would drive me nuts.
They were right, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were absolutely right, because you can't prepare. No, you can't prepare for having a kid.
Yeah.
Go see First Person Live. It's playing at Hey Nani in Arlington Heights. The best way to reach you guys is through the website or the phone number. The phone number is 224-202-0750. The website
is heynani.com.
Spell that out, Chip.
HEYNONNY.
Very nice.
It's from Shakespeare, you know.
It's from Shakespeare.
We also have a website, which is firstpersonlive.com. So
perfect name for it,
you can find the schedule for upcoming months, the themes, the dates, and submit a story if you want.
Excellent.
I will be at one of them 100%.
Wendy's coming
out. I
gotta
go.
And I'll still be a great America until 2 weeks from now. So bring your bread on up. Any dough product, I'll be happy to.
I've won so many stuffed animals from you. It's insane. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Diane. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Chip. Really appreciate you being here.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN.